The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon, and more specifically, happy 4th of July.
Happy birthday, America.
It's the third of July, but, you know, I know a lot of people who had birthdays yesterday and tomorrow. I don't know about today, but a lot of people born on the 4th of July. I don't know what that
means. Our area, Congressional District Number 1, our own congressman had a birthday. Was it July 1?
Nope, yesterday.
Yesterday,
2nd.
July 2nd.
And our chief of staff is tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
I know. Busy wizzy.
Wow.
So,
their folks were at the same party.
Yeah. Was yesterday.
Yeah.
So was mine.
Oh, that's
wow.
Right. I saw that on my phone. I'm such a loser.
Wow, we need to go back.
Well,
we need to go back in time.
Happy birthday, Bob.
Bob.
Yeah. Well,
happy birthday, Doug.
Sorry.
Their parents were all at Woodstock.
How do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah. Pothead. Are you a pothead, Fokker?
No, I'm not a pothead.
Okay.
The sheriff's sitting here for crying out loud.
Oh, brother. So we're talking about, seems inappropriate, but we're talking about guns.
Belated happy 4th of July to our Philadelphia area listeners.
That's true.
Yep.
We use their symbol of the cracked bell for our show. It's not just a cracked bell, though, is it? All right. So,
you know, we've been talking a lot about guns and gun legislation.
Don't even know where to begin.
Well, I got some more.
All right.
We have our lieutenant governor is Gavin Newsom. He used to be the mayor of the Republic of San Francisco.
A
very liberal place.
San Francisco. And
he's very much a big anti-gunner and very much of a pro-marijuana person. So, but he made a...
Imagine that.
He went out and gathered signatures for an initiative, a gun initiative. And it's called the Safety for All Initiative.
Of course, it is.
Doesn't that sound nice?
Fantastic.
It's more the Safety for None. So, have we been discussing these pieces of legislation? Notice I said legislation. Pieces of legislation that were just approved. Now, here's his Safety for All Initiative. It would ban possession of all 10 magazines over 10 rounds. Well, they just made that into law. That'll be effective in January. Ammunition sales restrictions, that it's going to restrict the ammunition purchaser. They'll have to register and get licenses. That's already signed into law. That'll take effect as well. And for the all transactions for ammunition purchasing must be done face to face. So that made it a little bit different in that you couldn't go mail order unless you get it here to the vendor, and then the vendor would sell it to you face to face here.
The views and opinions of shows on.
And the initiative is going to prohibit residents from bringing ammunition obtained from an out-of-state purchase out of California. It's going to be require a driver's license and other identification and to what type of brand and ammunition is being transferred. And it's going to require a whole lot of that. And then electronically submitting it to Department of Justice, making another big old database as well.
Oh.
And, of course, when you say database, it's going to take a lot of money, tens of millions of dollars to make that database, have the computers, the staff to do all the input.
I was just going over that in my mind, how many people it's going to take to input this.
And that's just one other place where you can get on a list and screwed up.
Now, remember, this was just signed into law, so it's on the initiative. Well, and to be able to purchase ammunition, you're going to have to get an ammunition purchase authorization, a license, every 2 years, pay a $50 fee, submit to a background check, and that could take up to 30 days. So if you want to go hunting this weekend, forget that because it could take up to 30 days.
Yeah, you better already have the ammo or you're not going.
And have current authorization and be included in that list. There's a whole bunch more to be authorized to sell it. You're going to have to report your gun when it becomes lost or stolen. You have to report that within a certain amount of time or else you'll become a criminal once you know about it being lost or stolen.
Yeah, now that one I was a little surprised to hear that wasn't already a law that you're supposed to report a stolen weapon.
It makes good sense.
Sure.
And it is good sense in being responsible, but maybe you're unaware of it. Or maybe you couldn't get to a phone. Maybe if you're at a cellular, non-cellular site, say if you're at a remote cabin or out hunting and it was lost, you may not be able to. This one, if you don't report it within 48 hours, now a criminal. Repeal the preemption of ammunition sales, and it basically would allow local governments to impose even stricter regulations for the sales of ammunition. So there are no more gun stores left in San Francisco. The last one closed around the first of the year. And so if San Francisco wanted to make even more strict regulation on the sales of ammunition, they could. It would repeal firearms theft. That would repeal the part that says that would make some theft of firearms a misdemeanor. That's probably about the only redeeming factor of that initiative. I don't support it, but that's the only thing that makes sense in there. And so prohibited persons have to relinquish their firearms. People that are criminals are prohibited from owning firearms have to relinquish them. Let me know how that's working right now in the state of California. And it would create a system which persons convicted of crimes that prohibit them from owning them could relinquish, sell, or transfer their firearms. So basically they could don't know if they're not going to be criminals, but that already exists.
Yeah.
There's an armed prohibited person system we refer to as APPS in California that if you're a prohibited person, you're on this list.
Right.
And the state of California has teams throughout the state that are going to people's houses and knocking on doors and saying, hey, you're a prohibited person. The only problem with that is the database is also wrought with errors, and it requires a whole lot of labor to check to ensure that they are prohibited persons, because maybe the court didn't properly report that the case had been dismissed or reduced to a misdemeanor.
Because that's a lawsuit looking for a place to happen.
Well, a few years ago they had it early on. They went in, kicked some doors, and arrested people, and like, hey, the person no longer lives here.
Oh, sorry.
The person's deceased.
Yeah. I remembered you saying that you guys weren't going to follow that list because it was way too messed up.
Yes, yeah. And some places have reported that it had an error rate of about 40%. That's a pretty good database.
Yeah, 40%.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm being sarcastic.
That's fantastic.
I'd like to have those odds.
So, and then Newsom's initiative initially did not have any exemptions for law enforcement. And now he built those in to try and make it more law enforcement friendly. But
so you guys would be – so people in law enforcement would be criminals if
– No, we could still have large-capacity magazines and a few things. But I think he only did that so law enforcement wouldn't oppose it. But the California State Sheriff's Association, of which I'm a member, have led the charge on many of the gun legislations opposing them, are opposing it. The L.A. County Deputy District Attorneys Association is opposing the initiative. And, of course, many of the pro-gun groups – are opposing it.
Yeah,
are you folks going to file any kind of challenge to these laws once they...
Probably the CRPA, California Rifle Pistol Association, National Rifle Association, and Gun Owners of California will probably be appealing it. Now, some people, even in the chat room, have said, hey, let's take these some of these laws to the Supreme Court. Remember that we're missing a justice in the Supreme Court. Judge Scalia passed away. And now it's, quote, a balanced... Supreme Court.
Yes.
They have
4-4.
Four. And then Judge Kennedy, Justice Kennedy, is the swing vote all the time. Depends on which way he wants to vote. It's very important. Whoever becomes the President of the United States, doesn't matter, I know it does matter who.
Super matters.
No matter who becomes the President, that person is probably going to appoint about 4 Supreme Court justices and countless appellate court federal judges to the bench. And so right now they have Scalia's position. They have
Ginsburg. 800 years old.
She's talking about retiring. Clarence Thomas has spoken about retirement as well. So there's 3 right there. And then I'm sure there's somebody in the wings that I can't name but is probably thinking about retirement. So 4. That would change complexion
forever.
And the makeup of the court in our lifetimes. It'll be for the next 40 or 60 years. Remember that a Supreme Court justice or even a federal court judge is a lifetime appointment.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're
stuck. Do you know what the difference between a federal judge and God is? God does not think that he's a federal judge. Anyway. So the State Sheriff's Association.
This is a really scary show today, you guys.
It is.
This
so the California State Sheriff's Association, we are already on record as opposing the Safety for All initiative. That's what Newsom is billing it as. It has qualified for the November ballot. It's going to be on there along with some marijuana initiatives as well. But basically, and I've said it many times before, that California has some of the strictest gun control laws in the nation, yet violence caused by criminals, gang members, and those prohibited persons that still have guns as well as the mentally ill, still continues. Certainly, we don't want to see guns. We state sheriffs or any of the pro-gun groups don't want to see guns in the hands of criminals or those with mental health issues, domestic violence restraining orders, background checks. You know, we support the existing background checks of what we had. Everybody, if you're purchasing a firearm here in California, you have to go through it to be legal. You have to go through a gun dealer, and you're going to get backgrounded check, and that's either for a long gun or for a pistol. Even if you're doing a purchase between two individuals, you have to go to a gun dealer for that transaction to take place legally. And the gun show loophole that everybody talks about, there are no gun show loopholes here in California. You have to go through a dealer.
Yeah, there haven't been.
And they process them there. There's a 10-day waiting period to do that as well. Basically, and this initiative will do little to prevent the criminal element from acquiring guns and ammunition via the black market or from coming to somebody's house and stealing it. And basically, it's going to put a lot more restrictions on law-abiding citizens who want to purchase ammunition for sport or hunting or competition, or just to retain their own guns or family heirloom guns for the next generation. And that's why we're opposing it. The state legislature, we've said it many times again before, that they should, if they want to reduce gun violence, focus on the problem, the criminal, those responsible for the violence, and those that have and don't focus on the people, the law-abiding citizen, who have no intent of committing crimes with those guns.
Well, but what's really bringing a lot of this, well, I know what's bringing a lot of it to the forefront, isn't really, unfortunately, the crime that we're seeing in this state. It's the whole jihadist fear people have now that, people are coming here and to do us harm, and so we're going to make it really hard for them to get a gun. It's just the wrong approach.
Yeah, like they don't have, every single one of these, they find these radical Islamic mosques and they find caches of weapons there. I'm sure all those are registered.
Yeah. Well, if they're not, they're going to, after January.
I'm sure they're probably going to go turn them in because they probably have high capacity magazines.
What seems to be somewhat forgotten about or else pushed down, the media doesn't report on it, the tragedy, the terrorist action that occurred in San Bernardino, California. There was two semi-automatic rifles that were used in the commission of those crimes there. They were legally purchased, and then one of them was illegally altered and used in the commission of a crime. The person had been on the watch list as well down there. But what that gets pushed down is they had a duffel bag full of pipe bombs. Well, now are they going to start registering pipe?
Plumbing supplies.
If you have a 3-inch pipe, is that going to have to be a large capacity pipe that you're going to have to register?
That's right.
You're purchasing over X amount of feet of pipe. But it's illegal to have bombs. But they still had them.
But they had bombs. And they make them at home. Well, in their kitchen, didn't they?
I saw a recap of the sheriff and the chief of police from San Bernardino gave a recent presentation at a state sheriff's meeting. And it was a very well-documented presentation. But it was quite the gunfight when they found the SUV that the two terrorists were riding in between the officers, and it took place of anywhere from 68 feet away to about almost 200 feet away. And if it wasn't for the officers having rifles, that would have been a very tough shootout for them just with handguns and shotguns.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Yeah, rocks and sticks is where we're going
next.
And
many of that, if you're not familiar with the 1033 program, that's where law enforcement can get military surplus. And they used a 1033 helicopter to fly people to the hospital there. They had EOD stuff, bomb technician stuff that was gotten through 1033. They had firearms that were gotten through 1033, but the president put some restrictions on 1033 after Ferguson. But those are all valuable pieces of equipment that law enforcement can get for free. That's military surplus. Otherwise, some of it gets destroyed.
The taxpayers have already paid for that. What the heck? Might as well use
it. And big money for it.
So, quick break here. We will be right back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Exactly. Well, I guess if you have bullets at the end of the year, you'll be hiding them, huh? I mean, what are people going to do with all this stuff, Tom?
What do you mean, the laws or the bullets?
No, I mean the bullets. You know, people who have, like, let's say they do have, you know, they've been buying bullets over the last few years. I mean, a lot of people have been doing mm-hmm. that. Okay, so...
Hang on to them.
I mean, what the heck?
Store them. If you store them correctly, they're good for
yeah.
scores of years.
So they show up at your house for some reason. I don't know. Some legit reason, let's just say. And they find your stash of bullets. How are they going to know when you bought those?
They could look, most of them, they can look on if they're new boxes of ammunition, factory made. Most of the boxes of ammunition have lot numbers and date of manufacture on there. But you could have tens of thousands of rounds if you're a reloader.
I know.
And you reloaded them. There's still no crime in that. But if
what if you got bullets from somebody who reloads, but you're not a reloader? Does it matter?
It would matter because remember...
Oh, yeah, you can't give bullets to anybody.
You can't give bullets to anybody.
So we won't talk about that.
You can't transfer them. So that's going to cause some... And it doesn't address on how you do it like a private transaction. So like if you had reloaded bullets and wanted to...
Yeah.
Give them to somebody, do you have to go through a gun dealer there? Didn't to be legal, you'd have to go through some dealer somehow.
But they go in a plastic, like a plastic tray. They're
yeah.
not in a box
right.
with a serial number on them.
Right, right.
No, but a lot of people buy them in bulk and carry
yeah,
them in
bulk.
Yeah,
if you buy in bulk,
there's
you buy
that.
A can of them. And that would, it was going to pose some problems. But I see probably a big rush on buying of ammunition before this becomes law.
Yeah,
yep.
So got some plans on that.
Okay.
So, okay, talk about these... dummies in the legislature and just
so,
the mindset of the people who do stuff like
in
this.
In the final week or so of our legislature process, these bills were coming before the Public Safety Committee, and people were testifying on their opposition to the bills. And there was some state legislators on this Public Safety Committee, and it's mainly Democrats, and they had just a vicious vitriolic diatribe of the presenters there. There was one assemblyman, or maybe it's a Senator Hall out of L.A. area, Compton, that said the people that were testifying there, they were the pro-gun people and gun rights groups, that they were needed to wash out their filthy mouths with soap, and they were murderous, and they were putting guns into the hands of murderers. And nothing could be farther from the
yeah.
truth. These are individuals that their life, their career is to represent their organization, like California Rifle Pistol Association or Gun Owners of California, and to represent their members and the rights, gun owning rights of citizens. And they're there testifying, and they're getting berated for testifying there and trying to be intimidated for not testifying. And I think their First Amendment rights were probably being infringed upon.
Can you imagine if Republicans did that?
Oh, it
could
was,
you imagine? That would have been just a bloodbath.
And it was online, and I know that it has been posted on the Gun Owners of California website. Go to www.gunownersca.org, and you could probably see that there. And then another person on the Public Safety Committee, he is an assemblyman. His last name is Lowe, and that he was telling the people that he could not even look them in the eye, could not look them in the face because they were basically so despicable for presenting of being pro-gun and going against these bills.
Mm.
And then recently an assemblyman, his name is Reginald Jones Sawyer, or Sawyer Jones, and he's out of the Los Angeles area as well. He gave a press conference talking about these gun bills that we're making, and it was in May that he gave the presentation, I think May 18th. And I sent a letter to him disagreeing with him. But basically he said that the Second Amendment it was made in 1791, and that it is too old and outdated for modern times, and that it needs to be amended and changed. And he was doing this as if he had the authority. Well, I wrote a letter to him and said, hey, you don't have the authority to change the Second Amendment. That comes from the federal government, not the state government. There has to be a convention of the states to make any type of constitutional amendment. And if you're saying that the Second Amendment is too old and outdated, well, the other nine amendments.
Yeah, what about the First Amendment?
The First Amendment, the Third Amendment, the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, those were all made at the same time as well. Our forefathers did not envision the computers that we have nowadays, or the internet, or the way television and the media and newspapers are part of free speech now, or our right to assemble and demonstrate. We have assemblies and demonstrations at all of our state capitals on a regular basis, especially Sacramento, our nation's capital. So is he saying that, hey, we should amend the First Amendment too, because it was made in 1791? What about the Fourth Amendment? And that's the right to be secure in your houses, papers in effect. It's the right to search and seizure. Is he saying that that should be changed as well? Now, it has been changed over the years with court interpretations of the Fourth Amendment, and then the Patriot Act also changed the Fourth Amendment drastically, allowing searches of people's papers and effects and databases on the Fourth Amendment to protect the safety and security of the nation. That's why the Patriot Act was very debated at the time when it was being enacted.
Wasn't debated enough, though.
Wasn't debated enough.
I mean, really, right. We kind of panicked, and most people weren't really paying a lot of attention to the legislative process like they are now.
It doesn't apply to them, but it certainly can. One of my friends, one of my sheriffs, and he recently went to purchase a firearm, and he was denied that purchase, and he couldn't figure out why. And it took him a couple of months of making phone calls, and somewhere in the federal system, he had been blocked for whatever reason. And he was finally able to get it resolved. And, you know, it was kind of a, quote, mistake. But had he not been a sheriff and had the contacts that he had.
Well, he had just gotten back from, what, 2 months of the FBI training?
He had served a long career in a state agency as a law enforcement person. He had done two tours overseas in the Middle East. He was a member of the Marine Corps, and then he was in the Army as well. He had top-level security clearances, and he was an elected sheriff on top of that. And then they're saying he couldn't purchase a firearm. And so, but he had to make numerous calls and emails. Some federal agencies just hung up on him and said, hey, we don't care. And eventually he was able to get it corrected. But if he had just been a regular law-abiding John Q. citizen, I doubt if that would be fixed by now.
No, he'd still be on the list.
They would still be trying to get it fixed.
And that's the whole problem. That's the whole problem with the no-fly list.
There's no new process.
Exactly.
Recently, Senator Dianne Feinstein, and she's our California state senator, very much an anti-gun person, and she is the previous mayor of San Francisco. She proposed that, you know, out of this Orlando shooting, this person that did the Orlando, this terrorist that did the Orlando shooting, even though the others in the federal government didn't want to call him a terrorist right away, this terrorist that did the Orlando shooting was a citizen and could lawfully purchase firearms, but he was under federal investigation not once but twice, and for on the watch list and being investigated for it, but was still allowed to purchase firearms. So how could this happen? And many people were asking that. Well, the senator was making legislation that said, hey, if you're on the watch list, you're going to be prohibited from possessing and owning firearms. That's all well and good, but how do you get on the watch list? Do you have some type of due process to appeal it? How do you get on it? How do you get off of it? And that's the big thing is some people all of a sudden became on the no-fly list, and how'd they get on it? I think we had some of our elected officials ended up being on the no-fly list, and it took them a while to get
on. Yeah, Tom McClintock was on it.
Yeah. So I didn't know the name of who it was.
Yeah, it was Tom.
But
it was,
here we have our elected officials that are on this no-fly list. How'd they get on there? And now how'd they get off? And so there was no due process for that, and that bill was defeated along party lines.
Oh, yeah, Senator Ted Kennedy, Congressman John Lewis.
Yeah.
The one who just led the sit-in on the House...
Was on the no-fly list.
Yeah, on the House floor.
Interesting.
And they left garbage everywhere, by the way.
They did.
just for anybody who was... Who was curious in that the big sit-in in the House? They left.
Try that on Earth Day.
They left a total trash heap. Classic lefty maneuver there. We got a lot of stuff. Okay, we'll quick break and we'll be right back. This is not going to be enough time. Sorry, I'm just going to lodge my complaint right now. Happy 4th of July, folks. We hope you're taking your blood pressure medication.
The chat room's going very busy in there.
Get on the chat room.
Say nuts. They might get on the.
We had to have the cop song. Nice. We'll be right back. Catch us online. WeThePeopleRadio.us. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were and you had bad treats, you go to school and learn the golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bit of soap will wash away your lipstick on my face, but a little bit of soap never, never, ever erase the pain in my heart and my eyes as I go through the lonely hills. A little bit of soap will never wash away my tears. Nice. Yes.
Follow-up story, and I think I'm telling this correctly. Sam Paredes of Gun Owners of California was on with Carl earlier this week.
Yes.
He said he was testifying on another bill in Sacramento and had the opportunity to present Senator Isidore Hall, who had called for our mouths to be washed out with soap. Sam had the opportunity to present Senator Hall with a bar of soap.
Nice.
Good for him.
Senator Hall's head reportedly exploded.
Was that after they called Sam a murderer? Didn't they call Sam a murderer?
Yes.
Yeah. We're putting
guns in the hands of criminals and murderers, which that is nothing is even close to the truth there.
Yeah. And so kind of on the federal level, because we saw the sit-in, and I mentioned it before the thing, I had kind of a list of stuff I will post, actually, but the main bill that they were worked up about was the no-fly, no-buy thing. That was the thing they were chanting on the House floor. The no-fly list is obviously notoriously inaccurate. There is no established process for being put on it. At one time, it did include McClintock, Kennedy, and John Lewis, and 98% of those on the list do not reside in the U.S. Hmm. So I'm sure that's going to make us all a lot safer, you know.
Right.
For the 2% that they do get who happen to be congressmen, senators, and other people. The proposals have all failed on a bipartisan basis since we've been talking about state stuff, kind of throw in federal a little bit. They failed in the Senate the week prior. They failed in the House Appropriations Committee. And in the House, the gun control measures that were heard before appropriations, where the Democrats, they tried to insert them into spending bills. And those failed. So contrary to what, you know, they were saying that they won't bring things up for a vote, all those bills had already been voted on and had already failed with bipartisan votes. So their whole thing was a fundraising stunt yet again. Imagine that. Let's see. Removing Citizens' Fifth Amendment rights. I'm, like, scanning down here. Oh, the assault rifle thing. We should bring that up. My note says... assault rifle, a select fire rifle that includes fully automatic three-round burst options. They've been highly regulated since 1934.
Correct.
And illegal for almost all owners since 1986. No crimes have been committed with these rifles, and they are not legal for sale, except in very rare, highly regulated circumstances.
Because an assault rifle is a fully automatic or has fully automatic capabilities. You depress the trigger, and it fires until you let off the trigger.
But we don't have that.
We don't have that.
But they changed the definition.
But the definition, what you hear, is assault weapon.
Right, and I have that. Politically made up term from the late 80s. Right. I didn't realize it went back that far. Meaning scary rifle. There's no actual definition, but the liberals commonly use it to describe a civilian AR-15 or AK-47. That is semi-automatic. One trigger pull equals one bullet fired.
Correct.
These are illegal in California by name and feature restriction. Detachable magazines, pistol grips, variations with fixed magazines that can be removed with a tool are legal.
And that's the bullet button. That's the bullet button. Correct.
So you can use a bullet or something else to depress and remove the magazine.
Now, as of January, that will become illegal.
So what are you supposed to have? This is almost like a car where you have no gas cap. Like, you can fill it up once with gas, and then afterwards you got to throw it away. What kind of a gun is this?
AR-15 and the platform, the model of it, is one of the most popular sporting rifles in the nation. And it is essentially what the musket was back in early times. It's today's modern musket. It's relatively inexpensive. It's easily customized and made for whatever type of shooting you want to do, whether it be target, varminting, hunting. And yes, you can take it hunting. No, you can't have a 20-round or a 30-round magazine. That's restricted in California to a maximum of 5 rounds, I think, for hunting purposes. So it can be used. And a lot of the legislators say, no, it can't be used for hunting. That's, again, another misnomer and false. And some of these guns, like a Ruger Mini 14, it comes with a standard wood stock. And then if you convert it and have a scary black stock with Picatinny rail on it and a foregrip and a pistol grip, now it becomes somehow an assault weapon. But it hasn't changed in any way the way it fires, the cyclic
shoots
rate.
It's the same bullet. Same
bullet.
Yeah.
And everything. So.
These guys, the other thing to note, I have some stats. Since Obama became the president, Americans purchase an average of 52,000 guns a day.
Wow.
Wow. So if people who legally buy guns are, you know, creating chaos and mayhem and all that, 52,000 guns a day.
Well, he's been
should have a lot more.
He's been called our best salesman.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Since he was sworn in, over 140,000 background checks have been done for gun purchases. So for all those people who think, you know, we're not background checking people, 140 million, sorry, did I say 1,000? 140 million of them have been done.
Wow. Hey, you know what, too? And I talked about it earlier in the show where gun sales have been rising ever since about 1981. Mm-hmm. We have the most sales recently. But yet, generally, violent crime is down on a national level. Now, remember, California has some of the strictest gun control laws in the nation. But yet, it just appeared in our newspapers, the Sacramento Bee and others, reported by California Department of Justice. Violent crime is up 10%, even with all the recent gun control laws. Why do you think that is? Because a few years ago,
we keep letting all the criminals out
of prison. A few years ago, we had Assembly Bill 109 that released people from prison. And Assembly Bill 109, for those same people or the people committing those same crimes, they don't go back to prison. They do their time in jail. And then we had Proposition 47 that was voted on by the citizens of the state and approved, and that reduced a whole bunch of felonies, mainly drug-related and property-related crimes, theft, and released more people from prison and returned less people to jail and prison. Now, our governor, Jerry Brown, has his own initiative. I call it the AB 109 Phase 2. I don't know if he has named the initiative yet, but his initiative would release even more people from prison. And the reason they're doing it is to, A, save money from what it costs to incarcerate somebody in prison, and to get out from underneath the federal three-judge panel that brought us AB 109. The governor's measure is going to provide anybody convicted of a nonviolent felony, but remember, those have been already released from prison, and sentenced to state prison would be eligible for parole after completing their full term, but they're only giving like 50% and 85% of their terms right now. It grants authority by California Department of Corrections and Rehab to give more credits for good behavior. So they'll probably be getting good behavior credits for sitting in their cell, playing cards or something like that.
I had another list, but it's probably inappropriate.
They're going to require the Department of Corrections also to adopt regulations in regards to giving those credits. That requires the secretary to certify those regulations and protect and enhance them in public safety. And then it's going to require district attorneys that want to try a juvenile as an adult, usually it's about 16 or 17-year-olds, instead of doing that, now they're going to have to go to court and go through a whole court process to get the court to authorize that. There's a lot of concerns about it from the state sheriffs. Some of the initiative only contains provisions dealing with inmate releases and doesn't address the lack of prison capacity. We need more prison beds. It doesn't exempt sex offenders who are in prison from early parole or credits. So now you can release more sex offenders.
Yeah, we definitely want more of them on the street. There's nonviolent.
And potentially allows felons with prior violent strikes. So maybe you're in on a nonviolent one, but you have a long list of violence convictions in your past. It's going to allow them, because only nonviolent felonies that you're in for will be qualifying. And it doesn't prohibit the application for increased credit provisions to go to murderers, rapists, and those class of offenders as well. So in essence, they could be getting those credits and getting out. The offenders who get early parole and then violate their parole will be housed in county jail versus prison, because remember they're wanting to reduce the prison population. What's the problem with housing them in county jails?
Mm-hmm.
There's no room.
I was going to say,
exactly.
Where exactly would you put them?
Yeah.
In Shasta County, we're full. And in 37 of the other counties in the state, they're having capacity problems as well with AB 109 and Prop 47.
And I think a lot of people want to know why we aren't like Joe Arpaio in New Mexico. And
with the tent city.
With the tent cities. We can't.
California regulations prohibit it. But I do get asked that quite often. So this will end up impacting the jails even more by introducing more violent, sophisticated offenders into our jails and turning them into little mini prisons, which we're seeing that throughout California as well. And then it eliminates the ability of the prosecutors to make it more difficult for them to charge juvenile offenders as adults. And it's also going to impair victims' finality of justice by opening the door to inmates serving less than their original sentences. So the victims are going to get victimized again by these people getting released early.
And you got to also look at the jailers. I mean, when you're bringing in a much more violent bunch of criminals into a county jail,
I mean the
amount of injuries and danger
involved.
Our inmate
on staff assaults have increased, and that's been reported throughout California as well.
Mm-hmm.
And our inmate-on-inmate assaults have increased as well. And that's also the same phenomena as going on in other jails throughout California. Because essentially now they're little mini-prisons, and you see a higher level. And that's because of AB 109 and Prop 47. It's very difficult. And what I should remind people to do, make sure, especially thinking of this 4th of July weekend, people have died to protect our rights to be able to vote. And so even if you're all upset and depressed, hey, I'm not even going to vote this year, please do not do that. Get out and exercise your right to vote for the person that you choose. But more importantly, be an informed voter. A lot of the voters didn't understand Proposition 47. It had a nice name to it.
Isn't it Safe Schools?
The Safe Schools and Neighborhood Act. Oh,
who
doesn't want Safe Schools and Neighborhood?
That? Exactly.
But that released thousands more from prison. And they were saying it was going to put $100 million into the schools. Mm. The legislative analyst of office in Sacramento now came up to and said that it's only going to put about $29 million into the schools. Much, much less. And when you spread $29 million statewide, that's not a whole lot for going into the schools.
No. Well, they played that same game with the lottery.
It was a big sham.
Yeah.
So when you look at this governor's initiative, look at it carefully. It does not have good things related to it. But the governor has attended our meetings, at the sheriff's meetings, and he said, you know what, if it doesn't pass, I'm going to release them anyway.
So who gives a crap, but the people.
But we're fortunate here in the North State. We have good legislators. We have Brian Dolly, our assemblyman. We have Senator Ted Gaines. We have Senator Jim Nielsen. We have Assemblyman James Gallagher. We have our Congressman Doug LaMalfa. They're conservative. They're pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment, and they vote that way. But they're outnumbered at the state legislature level and somewhat outnumbered at the federal level as well.
Thank goodness some of the federal guys haven't lost their minds completely.
And that's why it's important. Even if you know our legislators are in favor or opposing certain bills, it's important to let your voice be heard. You can email, you can phone call our legislators. You can send a letter. And even if I wrote a number of opposition letters to these gun bills at the state level and send them to the authors, so then the authors can track of how many is opposed. They usually put little tick marks of how many people are calling in of opposed and support.
It's worth it to oppose it because, you know, I mean, we sometimes think it's a foregone conclusion, but we better oppose it.
We've got to take a really quick break.
Yeah,
we'll have a quick break and finish up here.
Yeah, try to cram it as much as we can at the very end. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
With a bullet, got my finger on the trigger. I'm gonna put it. I'm picked to click now. I'm the son of a gun. So hold it right there, little girl, little girl. We gonna have big fun.
I may be an oldie, but I'm a goodie too.
Kevin dances at the county jail, right?
Yeah. Sock hops.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Hey, and you know, we were talking earlier.
We have like 5 minutes, so don't talk too much about what we got earlier.
I won't. This is my 1 minute.
Kidding.
We were talking earlier about gun sales and how they've gone up. I might just want to add that a substantial amount of those gun sales and ammunition sales are made by the government now, so we should feel a lot safer.
Oh yeah,
knowing that the
IRS has
IRS
a ton of bullets.
And,
yeah,
you know,
that's fantastic.
Social Security—they're all armed now, so we should feel a lot safer, folks.
There was a theory that the government was buying up so much ammunition as to cause some of the shortages and drive up the cost too.
Oh, I'm sure they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but anyway, too, we've talked a lot about guns. Make sure that you're an informed voter. Go to if you want about gun legislation. Gun Owners of California, www.gunowners.ca, excuse me, gunownersca.org.
They're a .com.
Are they a .com?
Yeah, I just checked them.
And then CRPA, California Rifle Pistol Association, CRPA.org. And they have a lot of stuff on California legislation. And then, of course, NRA-ILA.org for National Rifle Association. You can look up federal legislation on there and some state legislation.
And according to a call I got last week, you know, you can also get information about BLM because NRA and BLM are the same organization.
Oh, yeah, they're working together now.
Yeah, I know. Inexplicable, isn't it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I was pretty sure she didn't know what she was talking about. Yeah.
And that. Then also to be responsible gun owners, make sure your guns are safely stored. If you can't afford a gun safe, you can have some gun locks, and that would help prevent young hands from getting a hold of them.
Yeah.
You can buy some of the pistol security safes. They're not security as part of preventing theft, but they do prevent access to young hands as well. And if you can afford it, you can get some gun safes, starting around $350, and lock your guns up and record the serial numbers. Normally, when we take gun thefts at homes, most people do not have the serial numbers of the guns recorded. And that's important because when we take our reports, we enter those serial numbers into a national crime computer database. And that gun, if it gets recovered, or anything with a serial number, if that gets recovered anywhere in the U.S. and that gun is run, then that comes back as stolen. And so that's why it's important at least to have the serial numbers recorded and someplace that you can access them. And then, of course, your other important papers and stuff can be in that safe
as
well.
Is the recovery rate on stolen handguns high? I would think
it's very low.
Oh, it is. Where do they go? I mean, do they use them once and throw them away? Or?
Gangs?
Sometimes they get thrown away, but oftentimes they're not recorded because we don't have the serial number.
Okay.
And so we've seen guns that float around for maybe 10, 15 years, and it was serial number was recorded, and then it comes up as stolen. Sometimes the numbers get filed off. Obviously, if we find a firearm with the number filed off, that's a crime in itself.
I was going to say, that gets
seized.
Figure it's stolen.
And so we got a lot of things we covered today, but please, on this 4th of July, remember our freedoms, but we got the elections coming up. Get out and vote.
Yeah, we better stand up for our freedoms or they won't be there anymore. Sheriff Tom Basenko, you're a huge friend
Thanks.
Of everyone who lives in Shasta County.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. You can find an archive of this program. We hope you'll share it with other people, especially people who don't understand what's going on with the gun laws. And we need them to vote correctly. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks.